Time to look at sport on this Friday morning, heading into what's going to be a wet and windy weekend for most of Australia. Tim Robertson from Fox Sports joins us. Good morning to you, Robbo.
Yeah, good morning to you, Luke.
I hear you from the mid-north coast of New South Wales this morning. You are playing in the State of Origin Touch Footy competition in Coffs Harbour, and you're in the men's 35s division, eh?
Yeah, that is correct. Debuting for New South Wales at the ripe old age of 38.
So good boy.
Looking forward to it. Pulling on a Blues jumper for the first time up against Queensland. Obviously, we see it in the NRL and the battle that happens. Well, no difference in touch football as well. It still gets pretty physical out there, and everyone wants to bleed blood for their state. So it's going to be an interesting couple of days. We settled into camp yesterday, and we play game one later on this afternoon against Queensland, and game two and three is held on Saturday here at Coffs Harbour. So looking forward to it. 17 divisions are compete for the State of Origin Shield in touch football. So and New South Wales have the wood over Queensland. I think they've won the last seven series, so they're hoping to continue that as well. But yeah, looking forward to it. It'd be good fun.
Okay, 38, eh? So you're nearly the same age as Paul Gallen, who how he survived 10 rounds the other night is a testament to his courage. But this Justin Hooney guy, he's huge, he's monstrous, he's fast, he's strong. But Gallo, is Gallo a boxer? Is he a fighter? And will he hang up the gloves now?
Yeah, look, he's definitely a fighter, but I think he's now proved that he can box as well. He took it to one of the best, well, he's the best in Australia, the best heavyweight, because he holds the title, Justice Hooney. And this young kid, although he's only had four or five fights, he's been touted as an up-and-coming world champion. So for Paul Gallen, at that age of 39, to go 10 rounds with him, unfortunately, falling in the 10th, I thought it was a real big display of toughness. And, you know, we've seen that for so many years on the NRL field for Paul Gallen, and he showed it in the boxing ring as well on Wednesday night. So a really, really big performance by Gow. Huge paycheck as well. It got revealed before the fight that he was going to earn, I think, about $1.1 million just to even step in the ring, and then potentially some more money on top of that. So, look, that paycheck, and Gow has made it pretty clear in his previous fights that he's not there to be a boxer and to win world championships. He's there to get as much money as he can in a short period of time. So could that be the key for him to hang up the gloves? It's a possibility. He does, however, Luke, have a rematch in his favour with Justice Hooney.
So no.
He could execute that too, but you would think he'd be smart enough, you would like to think, but even the people around him would be smart enough to say no.
No.
There were already a lot of questions last night that maybe that fight went a little bit too long and that the towel or the referee possibly should have stopped that fight a little bit early. A little bit earlier than it was stopped. But look, Gow, big payday for him. I'd like to see him end his career on that because he's shown what sort of athlete he is, an amazing athlete. And I think any more damage after that would just be a real shame.
It's Justice Hooney. He is a great hope for Australia at the Olympic Games in the heavyweight division. Can he win the gold?
Well, look, there's plenty of talk around that he can. He's very exciting, and it sounds like after hearing him speak yesterday that his fighting style is currently based around that amateur style for the Olympics. He was saying that when he comes back from the Olympics, then he's going to try and turn himself into a professional.
But didn't he get paid for the other night?
He did get paid.
So he is a professional.
So he is a professional, but he's saying that he's learning any skills and the way he's boxing sort of like an amateur. So what it needs to win an Olympic gold medal, it's quite different from being a professional in the heavyweight scene to going and boxing at the Olympics. So, you know, I think he's a big hope. It would be amazing to see him come back with a gold medal around his neck after the career he's started as a professional to win an Olympic gold. And then you'd love to come and see him take it to another level because he knows there's things he has to change if he's going to go on and really compete with the world's best. But he's a very exciting young prospect.
All right, we're talking sport with Tim Robertson. We have to rush through now. Last night in the NRL, South Sydney had a huge win. What do the Broncos do, mate? Kevin Walters was asked by Fox Sports at the end of the game what he thought the problem was. He sounded a little unravelled. Have a listen to this, folks.
Might start with our defence. That would be a good place to start, I reckon. You know, we're just leaking too many points. And, you know, I thought our first 40 against South, who are a pretty good side, and yet we lost a couple of key players in those defensive positions. So we're 18-0 at half time. Doesn't sound great, but it was actually okay. Oh, not okay, but you know what I mean. I'm just digging a hole here, so I'll let it go.
Dear.
He's at a loss, isn't he? Poor old Kev. You feel sorry for him. He's up against it. The Broncos, he admits, you know, they're in the wrong place at the moment with their roster, wrong place at the moment with their salary cap. Another 46-0 drubbing, this time by the hands of South Sydney. And it got even worse, obviously, for the Broncos, because just before that game, before the players ran down the tunnel, the Australian broke the story that Tevita Pangai Jr. Looks like he was playing his last game last night for the Broncos against South Sydney. He'll be making a mid-season switch over to the West Tigers. So that's another huge blow. He's a key player for them, although he can be a bit erratic at some time and very inconsistent in his form and sometimes you know, faces suspension a few times. He's a very dangerous player as well, and he was also in discussions for an Origin jersey this year for Brad Fittler. So that's another loss there for Brisbane, but they did say that he could shop around, and he's been snapped up, and it looks like he'll be a West Tiger from the rest of the season. So, look, Kevy's got a lot of work to do. I can't see him turning it around this season. There's players that just aren't standing up for the club at the moment, and there's a few young players in there as well that are finding it hard to find any leadership. So I'm not too sure what Kevy does from here. This season's a write-off, but they're going to have to really pull in some players to get back on track at Brisbane.
Yeah, but what do you do? I mean, Tevita Pangai Jr. announcing that he's leaving this week. It was going to be his last game with the Broncos. That was announced during the game.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so yeah, the Australian broke that story.
That's
so
ridiculous.
Well, you know, that wasn't Tevita. Tevita was interviewed by Jonathan Thurston on Channel 9 at the end of the game, and he covered it up. He didn't say he was leaving. He sort of beat around the bush, but you could tell he was going, and Kevy sort of addressed that at the end as well. So, you know, it's disappointing, and for me, it just raises the question again, the age-old question, does the NRL need a trade system, a proper trade system
yes,
that
does.
Comes in at the end of the NRL season? Because already, I mean, Ken Mamalo, who's a stalwart for the New Zealand Warriors, last week played his last game for the New Zealand Warriors, had announced that he was going over to the West Tigers in a mid-season trade starting there on the Monday. He played for the Warriors on the Sunday and scored a hat-trick and then had to go over to West Tigers camp. So pretty crazy. Dallin Watene-Zelezniak's another one. Just recently it's been announced that he's leaving the Bulldogs. He's heading over to the Warriors in another mid-season switch. So, look, I think it's a real blight on the game and something that needs to be fixed.
We're talking sport with Tim Robertson. We have to fly now, so we'll quickly go through the rest of the round in the AFL.
Yeah, the AFL, we're looking forward to tonight's game. That's the only round we really, really have to talk about because there's a lot of teams having a bye this week, but the Cats up against the Dogs. It's third, first, second, and we saw the Cats really hit some form last week. They're going to be super dangerous, that's for sure.
All right, let's have a look at the NBL Grand Final. We're finally there.
Yeah, we certainly are. Unfortunately, my Illawarra Hawks aren't there. They won game one in Perth, but dropped the next two games. The Wildcats are back there looking for the championship number three in a row up against Melbourne United, who ended the South East Melbourne Phoenix season. Game one is tonight over at RAC Arena in Perth. Game two is also there as well. So that should be a beauty of a series. My tip, though, I think Melbourne United will get it done over the Perth Wildcats. No Bryce Cotton could hurt them down the stretch. But looking forward to a big NBL Grand Final series. And Luke as well on the NBA, plenty of pressure on Ben Simmons. Philadelphia blew a 26-point lead yesterday in Game 5 of the Eastern Semis against Atlanta. Now they trail 3-2 in the series and they head to Atlanta for Game 6. And Ben Simmons, 4 from 14 from the free throw line. He's missed 44 free throws this playoff series. So, now, really disappointing for the Aussie. He was hooked by Doc Rivers, the coach, with 3 minutes to go. I mean, he's a player that you'd think you'd want out there on the court, but the coach had enough, and you know, the pressure's really mounting on Ben Simmons and, of course, the Philadelphia 76ers as well.
The most amazing scenes I've ever seen on a soccer field was when Christian Eriksen fell over with a heart attack. I understand he's going to get a heart defibrillator inserted, but that was amazing, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was amazing. It was crazy scenes, wasn't it? But credit to his teammates for forming that circle and and letting people do what they had to do before he was rushed off to hospital. It's great to hear he's doing well. And yes, that's the latest news. He's going to have an operation to fit a heart defibrillator. And that's similar to a pacemaker. It's just a newer version. So good luck to Christian Eriksen. He'll have that surgery. His football future, there's still no talk about what's going to happen there. But look, hopefully the surgery goes well, and we'd love to see him back on the paddock. Only 29 years of age and a wonderful footballer as well. But really disturbing scenes they were.
They were indeed. Okay, quickly, who's playing tonight?
Looking forward to the Cows and the Sharks is game one. And, of course, the Panthers and the Roosters. Unfortunately, that game takes a hit. The Panthers get all their stars back, but the Roosters lose a few. No Walker, no Tupanua. And, of course, it comes after that Boyd Cordner retirement as well earlier in the week. So the Roosters will be pretty disheartened to lose their captain as well.
Okay. Hey, Tim, have a great weekend. Good luck with you. So do you get a result this weekend?
Yeah, we do, yeah. So game one is today, this afternoon, and game two and three is on Saturday. So the series will be over on Saturday, and hopefully we can get it up over the Maroons, just like the real Blues in the NRL will do as well next Sunday.
Don't get carried away, mate. It's touch football, all right? There's no, I don't think there'll be any head bins, okay?
Oh, I tell you what, Luke, you have to come and watch a few games. It's pretty rough and ready out there sometimes.
All right. Yeah, good luck to you, Tim. We'll talk on Sunday night. We'll catch up.